Before we begin, don't forget that if you want to hear this episode ad-free, then sign up to our members channel. Just search for What's the Story Crime in Apple Podcasts or follow the link in our show notes. Members will get exclusive access to all episodes of Smoking Gun, completely ad-free, before anyone else.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The man was confident that he could match a suit to a customer almost as soon as they set foot inside his shop. He'd been selling wetsuits for years and developed something of a second nature. He could spot the novice swimmers who needed a first purchase which wouldn't break the bank, the trendsetters who would regularly be in his store to get the very latest design, and the seasoned professionals who knew the best products and exactly what they were worth. As a scuba diving instructor, he'd taught all sorts, and he liked to play a little game when a new face walked in, guessing what they were looking for and finding it before they'd had a chance to say a word. But when Randy Roth walked into his store, there was no need to guess. He'd taught Randy some months previous, seen him swimming confidently, and he knew that he wouldn't be in the market for any beginner's level wetsuit. While Randy browsed the racks of different suits, the shopkeeper darted across the shop floor and made his choice. A black, high-performance suit, perfect for the budding diver who wants to spend more time in the water. It would only take a few moments of deliberation before the sale was made, another happy customer getting exactly what they wanted. But this shopkeeper didn't know that the wetsuit he'd just sold would go on to be pivotal in a murder case. And it would shine a light on a suspect who many believe has a long line of victims in his wake.
My name is Sarah Henderson. I've always been fascinated by the world of forensic science, the amazing ways in which crimes can be solved and the clues which can be found almost anywhere.
And my name is Tracy Alexander from Forensic Response UK. I've spent years inside these processes, searching for those clues. I've dedicated my career to using science to help the course of justice. And my work has ensured that hundreds of criminals have gone to prison and the wrongly accused go free.
Together, we're going to lift the lid on some of the most extraordinary cases from around the world.
We'll discover how, with the help of science, everyday items have become the key to catching a killer.
From What's the Story Sounds, this is Smoking Gun, Series 4, The Wetsuit.
The year is 1990, and we're in Washington State on the west coast of the USA. It's a beautiful corner of the country with plenty of forests, lakes, and the Pacific Ocean just a short hop away. It was here that Randy Roth met his future wife, a lady called Cynthia Baumgartner, as they sat and watched a children's baseball game going on in front of them. Neither of them put up much of a fight when there was someone new to talk to. Little League baseball wasn't their thing, So they struck up conversation, glancing only occasionally to watch the action as they passed the time getting to know one another. Cynthia had a tragic life story, which she was happy to share. She'd been married and had two sons, but with those children just 4 and 6 years old, her husband had taken ill and been diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. He passed away quickly, leaving Cynthia to take on the role of mum and dad and bring up their two children alone. Finding time to meet someone else, well, that was difficult. And even once Cynthia had come around to the idea of a new man in her life, she was adamant that any prospective new partner must not be a divorcee. Her strict Christian upbringing meant that was simply not an option. So Randy Roth, this new acquaintance stood in front of her, was interesting. He told her that he had never married, but he too had been the victim of a tragedy. His partner Janice had tragically fallen to her death in an accident some years prior. And now here he was, bringing up his son Gregory as a solo parent. What chance that the two should meet and share so much in common, thought Cynthia. They'd have to do this again sometime. And of course, they did.
Within months of that first meeting, Cynthia and Randy were in a serious, committed relationship. They'd moved quickly, as perhaps is understandable. They'd already each lost a loved one far too soon, and didn't want to spend a second not enjoying each other's company now. Indeed, by August of that year, the pair headed south to the bright lights of Las Vegas, and they got married. It was a fitting, Hollywood-esque romance, which they jumped into with both feet, even if their friends and family were less sure about what was going on. They started to notice that Cynthia was changing, and not for the better. She was paying less attention to the outside world, less attention to herself. She was, it seemed, married to someone who wanted to be controlling. Cynthia was rarely allowed to do anything on her own. The new family all moved to a much larger house, away from the neighbourhood Cynthia was familiar with. Something just wasn't right. Nevertheless, the couple reached the milestone of their first wedding anniversary and decided to mark the occasion with a family day out to Lake Sammamish, a beautiful freshwater lake to the east of Seattle. There, they planned to sunbathe, enjoy some peace and tranquility on the lakeside, and thank the Lord for the fact they'd met each other. They hadn't banked on the day having a tragic ending. Arriving at the lake, they found the scorching hot weather had given everyone else the same idea. It was packed. Cynthia's two sons, who had accompanied them on the trip, were happy enough playing in the designated swimming area, which wasn't too deep. And that meant that Randy and Cynthia could enjoy some time alone on a small inflatable raft, which they took out to the deeper waters at the lake centre. They spent a good few hours away from the crowds on the beach, bobbing in the water and enjoying the warmth on their faces. But when Randy eventually brought the raft back to shore, he did so with an unresponsive Cynthia alongside him. A crowd quickly gathered. Cynthia had, he explained, gone into the water and the raft had then overturned. He was unable to do anything, and now Cynthia was receiving medical attention in a desperate bid to keep her alive. One that ultimately failed.
As is always the case when a body is discovered, investigators were called and they began taking statements. They noticed that Randy Roth was not overcome with emotion. He calmly repeated his account of what had happened, mentioning a speedboat which had passed by and caused a wave or wake to disrupt their peace, flipping the raft over and apparently trapping Cynthia inside. Randy wasn't a strong swimmer, he explained. He'd been in the water when the speedboat had passed, and he was unable to get back to the upturned raft until it was too late. The officers completed their statement and searched for any corroborating witnesses. But there were none. Nobody had seen the incident. The boat was too far out into the lake. Perhaps only the people on the speedboat could shed any light, and they hadn't been traced. So, while investigators weren't entirely happy that they had all the facts, they left the scene with little more they could do. Cynthia was dead. And for the second time in his life, Randy Roth was facing a life without his partner. A few days after the tragedy, and with the investigation wrapping up, Cynthia's body was released to Randy as her next of kin to organise a funeral. He arranged a cremation, and there was a small gathering to bid farewell. Indeed, some of Cynthia's family hadn't even been made aware of the tragic accident, learning the facts of her death long after they ought to have done. But whilst informing the family hadn't been top of Randy's priority list, cashing in on her life insurance policy apparently was. There was almost $400,000 set to come his way, the result of a valuable policy he'd set up not long after they married. In hindsight, did this point to anything suspicious? Or was Randy just guarding against such a tragedy, leaving him unable to cope? After all, he knew better than most the cost of losing a partner. The investigators in Washington State could have wound up their inquiry and put the case to bed. But something told them not to. Perhaps it was a detective's intuition or a sixth sense. But something made them look a bit deeper into the events on that lake and the people they involved. So they got to work, and in their sights was Randy Roth.
What they discovered was a story beyond what they could have imagined. Randy Roth had told Cynthia that he hadn't been married before. But that wasn't true. In the late 1970s, he'd been enjoying the company of two separate women who didn't know about each other. He became engaged to Terry, who only broke off their relationship after finding another woman's purse in her house. She later went to the police to accuse Randy of robbing the home of her parents and even taking part in a service station robbery a year prior, when the couple had been short of funds. Randy had brushed off these allegations and instead became engaged and later married to the other woman, called Donna. It was this relationship which brought Randy his son, Greg. But the relationship barely lasted beyond his birth. And when the couple split, it was Randy who claimed custody of his son and moved on with his life. His next stop was a lady called Janice, also a divorced mother of one. They met and married in 1981. They bought a house together, which they moved into along with Randy's son and Janice's daughter. And they lived quite happily as husband and wife for a few months, until tragedy struck. They'd gone for a hike up a well-known local landmark called Beacon Rock the day after Thanksgiving, when Janice fell on the narrow path and tumbled to her death. Investigators here had wondered if they were hearing the full story. But there was no likelihood of a prosecution, and it was quite possible that Janice had been the victim of a tragic accident. Randy's desire to get his hands on the insurance money did little to ease the scrutiny on him. But ultimately, there was no proof of any wrongdoing.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more.
That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There had been another wedding too, just 4 years later. This time, Randy struck up a relationship with a lady called Donna Clift. A pattern was emerging. Donna was a divorcee and a mother of one. They had a shotgun wedding, but the cracks were already beginning to show when Donna began looking through his personal documents and finding things she didn't like the look of. In fact, they'd only been married for 3 months when a family rafting trip almost ended in tragedy. As the vessel they were on narrowly missed a series of sharp rocks, and a terrified Donna narrowly escaped serious injury, or worse. The couple soon divorced, and it was only after this relationship that Randy and Cynthia became acquainted. The officers who were piecing together Randy's life story took a big intake of breath. Here was a man who had been married 4 times. His second wife had suffered in a tragic hiking accident, and his third wife had narrowly escaped a similar fate on a raft. Now, they were investigating the death of his fourth wife in another rafting incident. How much bad luck can one guy have, they asked. It was with this question still ringing in their ears that the investigators managed to obtain a warrant. Randy Roth wasn't expecting any visitors when those officers knocked on his door and asked for a look around. What were they looking for? They didn't know yet, but they felt like he could be hiding something.
The examination of Randy's home followed the usual, meticulous pattern that all house searches do. Officers worked quietly, sweeping the house from one room to the next, working methodically in a clockwise motion around each room, and leaving no stone unturned. But what they found painted an interesting picture. For starters, there were a number of items of equipment and materials which belonged to his employer, a nearby car dealership. They were items he shouldn't be in possession of, and suggested that he may have been involved in thefts. Then, in another room, the search team found a collection of memorabilia from the Vietnam War. There were books, medals, plaques, and even uniforms. The collection gave investigators the impression that perhaps Randy was a veteran, someone who wanted to commemorate and remember the conflict he had served in. But they also found receipts, showing that the items had been purchased in a store nearby. In one of Randy's closets was a wetsuit hanging up, clearly in his size. The officers noted that it was an unusual possession to have when apparently not the strongest of swimmers. Lastly, there was a closet full of weaponry, from Japanese throwing stars and knives to weapons he'd made himself, including a baseball bat littered with nails. What were they for? Who were they for? Something wasn't right in this home, and the picture was starting to come into focus. They also found a substantial amount of pornography. But most telling of all was a poem, penned by Cynthia about her husband. It said that Randy does not love Cindy, Randy hates Cindy. Could this piece of writing be evidence that Randy had planned to kill his wife? And if so, the prosecutors wondered, how many others had he been responsible for killing?
Nevertheless, motive alone wouldn't be sufficient in proving a case against Randy. Next, the officers returned to Lake Sammamish, determined to put Randy's version of events to the test. They took an identical inflatable raft out onto the lake and attempted to cause it to flip by driving speedboats alongside it. They weren't able to do so. They also revisited statements taken on the day of the tragedy, from the onlookers and first on the scene back at the shore. They learned that Randy was still wearing his glasses, which, had he been swimming at the time of the incident, he'd have surely left on the raft. Then there was evidence that the raft itself was still full of some of the possessions they'd taken with them on that fateful day. The officers tested out whether these items were likely to float and stay close to the raft or sink. And they were interested to see that many would have sunk quickly had they been exposed to the water. So, everything pointed to the fact that the raft had not overturned. That much was now clear. But still, that didn't prove that Randy had been involved himself in Cynthia's death.
The officers still needed more. They needed to prove that Randy was lying about what had happened, and not because he was disoriented or in shock. And their proof for this came in the wetsuit which had been found in his home. Time and again, Randy Roth had claimed that he wasn't a strong swimmer. He was helpless when his wife was in the water, he insisted. Nothing more he could have done. So the presence of a wetsuit in his property begged the question. Why would someone not comfortable in the water own a premium wetsuit? Those questions would keep being asked all the way to the scuba diving instructor who had sold that very suit to Randy Roth and trained him in diving. On the contrary, he explained, Randy Roth is a very capable swimmer who has clocked up a number of hours in the water, submerged and in challenging conditions. The officers looked at each other and nodded. They finally had a case. In March 1992, Randy Roth faced a trial by jury. His legal team attempted to throw the case out, insisting there was no case to answer. But that was for others to decide. The prosecution presented more than 100 witnesses to give evidence. Many of them were there to prove Randy's uncomfortable relationship with honesty. The series of failed marriages and broken relationships which had built on a bed of lies. Others were there to paint a picture of the day, their memories of Randy's behaviour and demeanour as he paddled back to shore. There were witnesses who could point to his financial situation and the profits he'd secured almost immediately after Cynthia's death was confirmed. And then, of course, there was the diving instructor, who told the court how he'd personally seen Randy Roth swimming with ease on multiple occasions. After weeks of listening to the evidence, the jury retired to consider the verdict. And they couldn't escape the repeating pattern of lies that came from Randy's mouth. After 8 hours of deliberations, they came back with a guilty verdict. Randy Roth was led to the cells, knowing he'd likely married a woman for the very last time. The judge had given him a sentence of 50 years in prison for the murder and a single additional year for the theft. That total, 51 years behind bars, meant that prosecutors who were now investigating the death of his second wife, Janice, chose not to continue. It was unlikely Randy Roth would ever be released, and so their belief that he was responsible for Janice's fall and early death were a moot point. Her family had already come to the conclusion that Randy was responsible. And the other women that Randy had married? Well, they thanked their lucky stars that they'd survived. Smoking Gun is a What's the Story original podcast series. It's narrated by me, Sarah Henderson.
And by me, Tracy Alexander. The series is supported by Forensic Response UK. Our work promotes the international fight to improve forensic techniques, to share ideas, and develop the crime-solving scientific advances of the future.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please give it a rating and review and help to spread the word. You can listen to a new episode of Smoking Gun every week wherever you get your podcasts.
If you want to listen to all episodes right now, you can find them completely ad-free on our subscription channel, What's the Story Crime. On there, you'll also get exclusive access to a whole bunch of bonus interviews led by me, where I speak to some of the most experienced and skilled forensic scientists from around the world and find out more about what they do. Those interviews are only available on What's the Story Crime.
There's also a whole range of brilliant true crime content all made by the same team. You can check out The Missing, with more than 60 episodes all about long-term missing people, which invites you to try and help solve the case. You'll also find exclusive series like Jigsaw, true crime investigations like 900 Degrees, and incredible stories told over several parts. Whatever you're into, if you enjoy listening to Smoking Gun, we're sure you'll find your next must-listen podcast on What's the Story Crime. Signing up is really easy. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, just search for What's the Story Crime, subscribe, and you'll get all your favourite shows ad-free. For listeners on Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, or any other platform, all you need to do is click the link in our show notes or visit www.whatsthestorysounds.com/crime. Your subscription helps to ensure we can keep making more of the content you love. And it costs just $3.99 per month.